But we're right in the middle of a series, it's called Greater Than, and we're talking about how Jesus was the fulfillment of all of humanity and all of the roles that people have played throughout the years and the different things that they've done. So far we've covered humanity, we talked about Adam, and then last week we talked about priest, and we talked about Melchizedek, I can never say his name right. And then today we're going to be talking about prophets. So when you guys think about prophets in the Old Testament, what name do you think of first? Moses, exactly. Moses. He was probably the most well-known prophet of the Old Testament. He did things like confronted Pharaoh. He parted the Red Sea. He brought down plagues. He received the law on Mount Sinai. He spoke to God face to face, which you don't ever really see throughout Scripture. And Deuteronomy 34:10 says, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." They had interaction with one another. But what's fascinating about Moses is that Moses actually tells us himself that somebody greater was coming than him. Moses promised a greater prophet in Deuteronomy 18:15. It says, "The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." And so this wasn't like a humble brag, like, "I'm great, but God's going to like bring somebody else." It was an actual prophetic word that the Israelites would wait centuries for it to be fulfilled. In John 1:21, when John the Baptist appears, the religious leaders that asked him, they said, "Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" Because they thought that John the Baptist was the prophet, the promised one. And so, of course, John the Baptist says, "No, but I was sent to prepare the way for the prophet." In Acts 3:22-23, Peter directly says that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy from Deuteronomy 18. It says, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your among your own people. You must listen to everything that he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" So, Jesus was this prophet that Moses predicted long ago. So first, let's talk about Moses. Let's understand him. So a prophet, when I'm talking about a prophet from the Old Testament, what I'm talking about is somebody who speaks God's words, who reveals God's will to people, and then who calls people back to covenant faithfulness. So when you think about the prophetic words that Moses was speaking to his people, he's doing three things. He's speaking God's word, revealing God's will, and calling people back to covenant faithfulness. And Moses did this in very powerful ways. He revealed God's law, so he brought the Ten Commandments down. He delivered the covenant to the people. He told Israel what God required of them to be involved in that covenant between man and God. Moses spoke God's words directly. So in Exodus 4, we find Moses, he's arguing with God because God's trying to convince him to lead the people. And if you read through the whole chapter, which we're not going to do, he's giving God a whole bunch of excuses on why he can't do that. So Exodus 4:10-15, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. And then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet with you. He will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to say and do. So Moses is in this argument with God, and he's like, I'm not an eloquent person. Like, I'm not good in social situations. I'm just kind of like awkward around people. So I'm not really sure that I'm going to be the best leader. And God's like, no, I'll teach you what to do and what to say. And he's like, yeah, but I don't talk real good. And I don't know about that. I just don't know that I'm going to be a good leader. And God's like, you're going to be fine. I'm going to send someone to help you, right? I was always told that when Moses says that about himself, that he was slow in tongue and speech, that he had some sort of like speech impediment. Did anyone else get told that when they were kids? And so then I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute. Where did Moses grow up? Where did he grow up? In the Egyptian palace, yes. Uh-huh. And did the Egyptians speak the same language as the Israelites? No. So Hebrew was his second language, right? So when he's talking about being slow in tongue, he didn't mean he had a speech impediment. He meant that the language that he was going to have to speak to lead the people with was his second language, that he was probably still learning at the time. So he probably was like me. Whenever I'm going out to eat and like you go to like the Mexican restaurants and I practice my Spanish and I'm like, hola, ¿cómo está? You know, it's like I wouldn't feel comfortable. You'd be like, Matt, I need you to go and I need you to lead this group of people. By the way, they don't speak English. They only speak Spanish. I'd be like, can you please send me a helper? Like, please. They're like, yeah, let me send you a translator, right? And so that's what he does. He sends him a translator to help him on his way. So Moses doesn't speak his own message. He carries God's message, which he relays to Aaron, who gives the final speech. And I love the end of the scripture too in Exodus 4:17. It says, but take this staff in your hand so you can perform signs with it. Basically like, get your stick, go to work, right? Get your stick and go. Because the people, it's crazy to me because even though he wasn't an eloquent speaker, even though he wasn't formal or whatever he's saying that his issues was, he was obviously very brave. Because when you read through the scripture, it's talking about God's people and how scared they were of God whenever they would go up to, he would be on Sinai. And the people were terrified. They wouldn't go up the mountain with him. But Moses is just like, yeah, I'll go meet with God, and just goes on his way. Like, that takes some guts, right? To meet with God and to stand before him and to deliver those messages from God to his people, it took a lot of guts. The people were afraid, but Moses was willing to be the mediator between God and the people. And that's that prophetic role that he served whenever he was in that. But here's the key. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Don't miss that. God used to have to speak to his people through prophets, but now we get to talk to God through his Son. Because Jesus is not just another messenger. He's not just another ordinary prophet. He is the full revelation, allowing us to communicate with God through Jesus, through himself. So let's compare. Moses brought the law. He brought the Ten Commandments. He told his people what to do, right? There was how many laws? 600 and... 30-something, whatever, brought all these laws and said, you have to do all this in order to be in covenant and right relationship with God. Moses brought the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. Moses went up the mountain and brought the law down to the people. And in Matthew 5, Jesus goes up the mountain and says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. So he doesn't just interpret the law. He speaks authority over the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. Moses said, thus saith the Lord. So when he would say something, he would preface it with something like, the Lord says to you that you should X, Y, Z, right? And then Jesus says, I say to you. Did you notice that? And the New Testament, he says, I say to you. I say to you. Moses is having to say, God is saying to you, but Jesus says, I say to you, meaning that he's not just the fulfillment of man. He's not just the fulfillment of a priest, but he is the fulfillment of the prophetic, of the of God coming down to earth, delivering God's message directly to us through himself, who is in fact God. Moses delivered from physical slavery. Jesus delivers us from sin. Moses confronted Pharaoh and led Israel out of Egypt. Jesus confronts sin, death, hell, and the grave. Moses parted the Red Sea. Jesus parts the curtain in the temple. Moses led people out towards the promised land. Jesus led us into eternal life. The Exodus was temporary, but the cross is eternal. See, Moses reflected God's glory. He reflected it. Jesus is God's glory. When Moses comes down from Mount Sinai after receiving these laws and he's met with God face to face, it says in Scripture that his face shone because he had been in God's presence. And in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Once again, Moses reflected God's glory, but Jesus is God's glory. He radiates God's glory. Moses was faithful in God's house, but Jesus is over God's house. Hebrews 3:5-6, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, but Christ is a faithful son over God's house. Moses was a servant, just like we're servants of God, but Jesus is the son. I want to go back to Deuteronomy 18:15, because that last little line there in Deuteronomy says, you must listen to him, talking about Jesus, right? The greater prophet that's to come, you must listen to him. Matthew 17:1-8. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and the voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. But Jesus came and he touched them and he said, get up, guys. He said, don't be afraid. Then when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Okay, this is a crazy story, y'all, right? Like, this is, like, this wild, because Moses and Elijah have been dead for, like, forever, right? They're ancient history at this point. And so they're walking up this mountain. Jesus is being transfigured. And then all of a sudden, there's these figures that appear out of nowhere. And it's Moses and Elijah. And they're like, I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve to be here. I need to be covered. I don't want to die, you know, seeing the Lord. But Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the mountain. And they're speaking with Moses and Elijah. And Jesus is talking to the Lord. So what's happening here basically is the passing of the torch, right? Both Moses and Elijah were prophets, and a lot of times when people in the New Testament were talking to John the Baptist or talking to Jesus and they were confused about who they were, they would say things like, are you Elijah? Are you Moses? Are you the prophet? Are you that prophet or this prophet? They knew that Jesus was a prophet, but they didn't understand that he was even more than simply a prophet. And then all of a sudden, they're standing there, and this booming voice says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Moses is standing right there, and God says, listen to Jesus. That's the transition that happens from law to love. The law is fulfilled as the greater prophet arrived. So why does this matter for us today? Like, what is, like, that's cool, Matt. Like, you know, Moses predicted that Jesus would be the greater prophet, and people were confused about who Jesus was, and there was a lot of similarities between Moses and Jesus. Like, this is all cool, but why does it matter? We live in a world, just like Carrie was talking about going and voting earlier, we live in a world full of competing voices, right? We can turn on the TV and within 10 minutes you can have 14 different opinions on the same policy depending upon which channel that you change to, right? Through social media, news, podcast, influencer, politics, we're all drowning in voices because everyone, it seems like everybody has something to say. And the question isn't, are you listening to something? The question is, who are you listening to? Like, who are you listening to? God's command is still the same. Through Deuteronomy, through Hebrews, through whatever, like every time this is brought up, it says the same thing. Listen to him. And if Jesus is in fact this greater prophet, his word outranks every other voice. Jesus doesn't just inform, he transforms us. And listening to Jesus requires obedience. In the Bible, listen doesn't mean to just simply hear sounds. It means to obey. And in James, which James is just very blunt to the point, James 1:22, it says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. It's not enough just to listen to his voice. We have to be willing to do what he says. And if he is this ultimate prophet, then ignoring him isn't a minor mistake. It's rejecting God's final word. That's why in Acts 3 earlier, we read that scripture in Acts 3. It says that anyone does not listen to him will be cut off. And that's strong language. Why? Because when God speaks fully and through his son, there is no higher appeal. And Jesus is still speaking to us today like he did back then. He speaks to us through scripture. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks through conviction, through the church, through trials, through circumstances that we face in our lives. Sometimes we go through things and we don't understand why we went through them. And then we, on the back end, we're like, I get it now, right? The question is, are we positioning ourselves to actually hear from God or from Jesus? I want you to imagine a time when they delivered messages through runners, right? There was no postal system. There was no mail. If you wanted to send a message to someone, you had to send a rider on a horse, right? And so you would say, okay, hey, I need you to deliver this message to Branson, Missouri, and my friend that lives in Branson, Missouri, and here's the message that I want you to send, right? And so you send them on their way, and they're going, and they go once, and they come back, and they're like, well, what do they say? And they said, right? And they're like, oh, did they do what I said? And you're like, I don't think so. I don't think they're doing what you told them to do. Okay, well, go again and tell them this time. I want you to really like convince them to do the thing that I told them to do. All right, so they send your messenger on the way again. They go, they tell the person, they come back, and they're like, what do they say? They say they weren't going to do it, right? Well, then what am I going to do, right? I'm going to get on a horse. I'm going to go tell that person to do the thing that I told them to do. Who would you ignore in this situation? Would you ignore the messenger, or would you ignore the king? Neither, right? But when the king speaks directly to you, it means something. And so back when Moses was delivering these messages to his people, he was in fact that runner. And the people often would say no, or I'm not going to really listen to you. I'm not going to do what you say because you're just a prophet. Maybe you misheard what God was speaking to you, right? There's a lot of excuses and things that you could say when the messenger comes to you and you're trying to prove your point. But now we don't have to have the prophet to hear God's word, because the prophet is Christ who lives inside of us, and he writes the law on our hearts so that we know the things that we should do. So once again, the question is, who are you listening to? Because Jesus isn't just another messenger. He is God. If Jesus is this greater prophet, his words matter more than our culture. His truth matters more than our preferences. His voice matters more than our comfort. And his call matters more than our convenience. So here's the question. What voices do you allow to shape your life the most? Because whatever you listen to the most forms you. I can remember when I was a kid, right, they would talk about, I would say that all the time, like, whatever you're putting into your mind, whatever you're allowing to come through your eyes is going to come right back out. And that's such truth, right? Whatever you listen to the most, it will form you. Moses said, you must listen to him. The Father God says, listen to him. And today that invitation still stands. Jesus is the greater prophet. And the greatest thing that we can do is to listen to him. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And we thank you, God, that you sent this ultimate prophet, this your son, to earth so that he could make right the path for us to have a direct relationship with you through him. That he could be that mediator for us, because we know that his word is infallible, that his word, that when he speaks, he is speaking truth, that he's not simply just some human or priest that's telling us what to do because that's what he prefers, but God, that these words are coming directly from you through the Son into us, God. So help us today to put all of the voices out of our head, the news sources, the newspapers, the gossip that comes through the office. God, help us to put all of those things to the side today. God, cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our spirits today so that we can allow a new voice, your voice, into our minds and our hearts. That we can hear better from you, God. Help us to find new ways of listening for your voice, whether it's through reading more scripture, or spending more time alone, or finding a quiet space, or listening to podcasts about you, or whatever it may be. God, help us to find ways to connect to your voice so that we can know what you are trying to say to us today. We thank you, God, that you allow us to have right relationship with you and that you make us righteous and perfect in your sight through your Son who paid this ultimate sacrifice so that we, God, could have that relationship, that we, God, could hear from you. God, and most of all, we thank you that when we do listen to you, God, that you make our hearts happy, that you give us joy, and that you give us peace, and that you give us a hope for a bright future, because that is what you do, God, when we listen. We love you and we thank you. That's all this we ask in your holy name. Amen.